Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, and also to Exodus chapter 20. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, and Exodus chapter 20. We're in the middle of a series. I've entitled it, Leave It All Behind. And what we have been talking about is what a life in Christ looks like. I'm talking to Christians. What is a life in Christ? What does it look like? Things that we should exhibit as Christians and those things that we should leave behind. And some of the topics that we have looked at thus far in our study is this, which first thing we looked at is lying. And how, as a Christian, lying is something that has no place in your life. Why is that? Because, according to Scripture, lying is of the devil. The devil is the author of lies. And as Christians, lying is something that we should have left behind when we gave our lives to Christ. It's something that we should have left behind in our old lives, and it should not be in our new lives in Christ. And then we spent a couple weeks on the topic of anger, and I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of people made comments to me, affected a lot of people, but we had a topic of anger out of Ephesians 4, verse 26, where Paul says, be angry and do not sin. In verse 27, do not give place to the devil. So understand this, anger gives a foothold to the devil, and what he can do once he's got his foothold in the door is total destruction. He's going to move in. So verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Therefore, you, Christian, need to leave that behavior behind you. It has no place in your life any longer. Amen. And now this morning, we are going to talk about stealing. Yes, in the ways that you commonly think of stealing, physically stealing something, but also in some ways that you don't think of spiritually. So let's pray and we'll get started. How's that sound? Amen. Father God, as we come to this word today, Father, I just pray that your spirit already begin to move. I pray, Father, that the words that are being spoken will be realized or words that are inspired by you. So, Father, we give ourselves to you as your church, and we ask you to speak into us, to teach us, to mature us as believers in our walk with you. So, Father, we come and present ourselves as an instrument of worship to you, and we pray that you are pleased. Father, as always, I present myself to you, Father, and if I'm going to say something that is not true, I'm going to deliver something in a wrong manner, I pray in the name of Jesus you would silence my lips, you would not allow me to speak, but that you would raise up the one that you would have to speak for you in this day. Why? Because, Father, I want all glory and honor to go to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago now, I worked at a lumber yard, and I was the yard foreman down at Weirton Lumber. And I have some friends here today that have some people that I work with that were down there. And it's kind of ironic, but I worked at the lumber yard as a yard foreman. And as a yard foreman, part of my job was to keep track of inventory. And in doing that, loss prevention was a part of that. Is keeping track of the inventory. Now, there was some lost inventory due to damage or inferior products. In other words, you would go and find a bunch of crooked 2x4s or some sort of crooked lumber, or it would be all split up or full of knot holes. You just had to write it off and get it out. But the number one reason for lost inventory, anybody in here been business for themselves? Raise your hand. Yeah, I know you, Steve, right? What's the number one loss of inventory? Theft. By who? By employees. And that was the same there. Yes, people would steal product whenever we weren't looking. In other words, we'd go load up their truck and put all their stuff in there, and we're busy. You know, they're going to tie down their truck, and we would walk away. And once we would walk away, they would just help themselves to more product when nobody was watching. And I caught several people doing that, some of them personal friends of the owner. They just, because my job was to keep watching that, so I stand around the corner. My buddy Rodney would walk away, go around the corner, the guy's just loading stuff in his truck. It happens all the time. But unfortunately, the greatest theft stemmed from employees. Employee theft, I personally caught several employees stealing. Some that amounted to just a few dollars worth of product, and some to hundreds of dollars worth of products, and some to several thousand dollars worth of products. We had one gentleman that was supplying a guy with his whole house. He would go in and order some, a handful of 2x4s and a handful of this, a handful of that. But when he left with a whole truck full of lumber, and he was trading that lumber for this guy to build his house for mechanic work on his car. There's another employee that got caught, which was part of an implication from with me, was that he was the inside guy, a counter guy, and he was stealing the company blind, and he did that by writing false cash returns and forging the yard guys' names. Thousands of dollars. I got caught on the carpet because I was a yard foreman, and I oftentimes did returns and all this stuff, and the guy, the boss called me in and says, you signed for this, and all this, I need to know where this stuff is at, because the computer says we don't have it. My job is to make sure that we do have what we have, what you say we have. And so I'm being called on carpet, and I'm like, that's not my signature. He says, you're telling me that's not your signature? And I said, nope. And he went out to the shipping office and got all of the incoming receipts that I signed. For all the shipping stuff coming in, I signed hundreds of receipts, literally. And he's like, you're telling me these aren't the same signature? And I said, no, they're not. He said, well, they look identical the same. I said, you better look closer. And he says, well, what does that mean? I said, look close. That's not my signature. This is. He says, well, it looks identical to me. I said, all these receipts that you have, there's no dot above the I. Or I said, all the receipts I signed don't have a dot above the I. All the receipts you have do. And I did that intentionally. And it came back to save me, because he was insinuating that I was writing things. Well, here all the time it was a counter guy. Both of these big instances that I told you about were both done by Christian people who profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And at that time, one of them attended this church. But the guy who stole the most did not attend here, but the guy who stole the most, the boss caught him, finally caught him what was going on, called him into the office and said, listen, I know it's you, I can prove it it's you, so if you don't fess up, you can sit here and tell me, and you can fess up and confess to this. He said, I'll let you go. He said, I won't prosecute you. He said, I'll let you go. He said, but if you lie to me, he says, I'm going to prosecute you. The guy had worked there for almost 18 years. And he said, I did it. Professing Christian, by the way. And the boss looked at him, Mance looked at him and says, why? You know what his answer was? Because it was too easy. And I'm not the only one that's doing it. Professing Christian, you got your copy of God's word. Paul comes now to the church. And he comes to Christians and he says in Ephesians chapter 4, now watch this, verse 28, he says, let him who stole steal no longer. Now Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus, to Christians, those who were saved, to those who had an experience with Jesus Christ. He's speaking to them. Now let me tell you something, this word, how it's worded there, this is a present active imperative here, meaning this, it's actively happening, it's going on as he's speaking. Some versions say it like this. If you have an ESV version Bible, it says, let the thief no longer steal. If you have an NIV, it says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. The NASB says it like this. He who steals must steal no longer. In other words, what he's saying is this. There are people calling themselves Christians that are in the process of stealing, and you need to stop it. And that is what Paul is saying to these at the church at Ephesus. So in the context of the language, it means this. You put off something that was in the process of taking place. I'm doing it, and I need to put it off, and I need to stop it. So you've got these Christians, evidently, in some way, in the early church, in some way, they're stealing something. Because Paul would not have come out and said that if it wasn't happening. Now, I don't know what it was. All I know is that what Paul was saying here, I don't know what kind of thievery was going on. I don't know the context of the stealing. All I know is Paul is saying here, stop it. Let him who stole steal no longer. Now, as I was thinking about that and reading that about it, that I thought about this to myself. What are all the ways a person can steal? And then I began to think. We have many more ways to steal in this day and time than they did ever did that they had in that day and time. Amen? There is security, things like securities frauds. There are tax frauds, internet fraud, telemarketing fraud, insurance fraud, credit card theft, credit card fraud. Also, there's this, and this is huge in today. There's tons of money being spent on this. It's called identity theft. One of the fastest growing crimes, believe it or not, there are many ways to steal someone's identity. And you know what? It can go to this. There are copyright infringements. Copyright infringements. Unlawfully downloading of materials on the internet. I've watched people sometimes, I've seen it in sitting in a movie theater, and somebody's got their cell phone out in there. Right? But there's all kinds of downloading of materials and stuff that they shouldn't be. There are things Paul would have never even thought about. For instance, for years we used to put the song verses up, the words up there on the wall when we sang, and we didn't know that we needed a copyright license to do that. We had no idea. I mean, this is the coolest thing. Remember the old overhead gels we had? Remember those? We'd put them, write them songs out, put them up there. We thought that was just the greatest thing. But then we found out that was against the law. And what we were doing was, and we break it all down, we were innocently stealing. But when we did that, and we understand that, and when we do that, we need to make it right, right? So what we did, we went out and bought the license. And you say, now, preacher, so far you've talked about lying. And every once in a while, maybe we say our wife's hair looks good when it really doesn't. Your hair, I've never said that to you. Your hair always looks good, even when blowed on the back of a Harley. You're good. I've never lied to you. But we'll say things like that, and we've talked, and you say, Pastor, you've talked about anger, and maybe in once in a while we blow our cool, we just fly off the handle. But Pastor, listen to me. I don't ever steal. I don't steal things. I don't call me a thief because I don't steal things. Okay, I get that, and I believe that, but I want you to put your finger right there in Ephesians chapter 4 and go and let's go back and talk about your relationship with God for a minute. We're talking to Christians, right? Let's go back and look at what relationship with God for a minute. Go back to Exodus chapter 20. You know what's coming. It's the Ten Commandments are there, right? Did you ever stop and think about what we steal from God? Do you ever think about that, what we steal from God? Exodus chapter 20, we all know these, the Ten Commandments. The first four of these Ten Commandments deal with God, right? Beginning at verse 3 of Exodus 20, you come to the first commandment, and what does it say? It says this, "You shall have no other gods before me." So let me ask, have you ever broken that commandment? Well, if you've broken that commandment, then let me tell you something. You've stolen the honor that belongs to God and to God alone. You know, you say, well, how can I say that? Well, the only thing that I can come up with off the top of my mind, as I don't think we all bow to any kind of engraved image or anything, but if you want to know maybe what is the God of your life, you might look in your checkbook. Now, look at the second commandment in verse 4 with me. Look what it says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Do you ever see anybody bow to a statue or an object or anything like that? He says, don't do that. He says, "That don't do that." He says, that's not right. And you and I understand that a lot of things can be idols, right? Have you ever broken this commandment? Listen, I know people that have figurines of angels and things, and they think that if they got this, or they got this thing hanging around their neck, or they got it hanging for their car, some sort of medallion or something, they think that somehow that object is going to bring them protection. Let me ask you, have you ever broken this commandment? If you have broken this commandment, then you've stolen the worship that belongs to God and only to God. Now let me give you the third commandment in verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Cussing, however you want to say it. Take the Lord's name in vain. Have you ever heard another brother or sister in Christ do that? He says, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Listen, that also includes this. This is my opinion. You see me backing away. This is my opinion. I believe this also includes walking around saying, oh my God. I see some heads nodding. You know what? I hear that so much that it just absolutely grates on me. You know, I hear kids use other words instead of the cuss words. Are you kidding me? You know, I hear kids, and I've heard preschoolers say it, even, oh my God. I hear preschoolers say it, and I think, what in the world are we teaching our children these days? Why? Because it says, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Now, if you have ever broken that commandment, then you've stolen the dignity and honor that belongs to the name of God. His name is holy. Well, now look at the fourth commandment, verse 8. It says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Have you ever broken that commandment? He didn't say keep most of them. He said keep the Sabbath day holy. Have you ever broken that commandment? If you've ever broken that commandment, then you've stolen the day that God set aside for himself to be worshipped. If you put something else in front of it, you've stolen the worship of God. So you see, there are a lot of ways we can steal, and yet we don't ever think that we are doing anything wrong. Because we think, in our minds, we think that stealing is something like shoplifting or robbing a bank. And it is. That is included in this. It is. But I don't know of any bank robbers that we have in here, okay? I mean, so I'm getting down to this is this. We see on our local news all the time where the news wants us to help to identify people. We see it all the time. Who are caught on surveillance cameras breaking into businesses and taking things. Now, honestly, that's what we think of when we think of stealing, and we think of stealing only in those terms. When I said on the onset of this that we're dealing with stealing, this is where your mind went to. It leaves most of us innocent of this when we only think of stealing in this way. That I'm shoplifting or I'm taking something, I stole the pencil at school, and this, we think that's what's stealing. But we when we think of it only in those terms, then we're all innocent. Amen? But so I want you to look at two things that Paul says, and I want you to think about them in relationship to your life this morning. So here we go. Number one, we need as Christians to leave behind the grip of greed. We need to leave behind the grip of greed. By the way, one of the other things that was that weird lumbered with Steph was time cards, cheating your employer from time. Okay, so grip of greed. Now, I really do not think that we are a bunch of thieves in here. I really don't. I don't think that we are. I really don't personally think that we are a bunch of liars or hotheads or a bunch of thieves. Now, I know I'm saying that none of us lie, and I'm not saying none of us lose our cool, but I'm just saying it's not a practice that I think that we generally practice for most of us. But it is good to listen to the Word of God, amen? Because at some point, it will speak to our heart about these issues. That's why Paul is writing about this. Now, while I don't think that there are a bunch of robbers and thieves in here, but let me tell you what we do struggle with. We all struggle with the issue of greed in our lives. We do. You see, in the flesh has this problem with greed. You know, there's a battle going on between the spirit and the flesh, but our flesh has a problem with this thing called greed. Every man, now listen to me carefully, every man, every person in the flesh always wants more than what he has. You remember the phrase of John D. Rockefeller, considered the wealthiest American of all time, when he asked, when he was asked how much money is enough, he answered what? Just $1 more. You see, at heart, in here, at heart, every man in the flesh always wants more than he has. Listen, I am in that as well. I had to talk myself out of a Harley last week, didn't I, brother? And listen, in our flesh, we always want more. Yes, we do. In our flesh, we always want more than the other person. Even if it's just a little bit, but we want more, just a little more than the other person has. You remember the television show, The Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous? Anybody remember that? When Robin Leach would show you all the things that the rich and famous people had, the homes, the cars, the $500 an ounce caviar, all the swimming pools and the boats and yachts and all these. Well, that program simply appealed to the greed in us. That's what that show did. It appealed to the greed in us. I would love to have just a little bit more than I've got. And I'd like to have just a little bit more than you have. I want it, whatever it is. It needs just to be a little bit more nicer. It needs to be a little bit more newer. But it has to be a little bit more than what you got. Understand something. That's greed. In my flesh, I want more than what I've got. That's you. That's me. But now let me tell you what happens to greed. What happens to greed is this, it turns to envy. Now, envy is a lot more sinister than that of greed. Why? Because it's a lot darker, it's a lot deeper than the sin of greed, if that's possible. Because let me tell you what happens to greed when it gets bad. It turns to envy. Let me tell you what envy does. Envy does this. Envy does this. Envy says, I not only want more than what I have, but now I want what you have. And in the process of me wanting what you have, I want you to lose what you have when I get what you have. That's why people steal cars. You getting it? That's the dark side of it. It's not just enough to say, I want something more. Envy comes and says, it puts emotion behind it. I want you to lose it, and I want you to lose it. I want to gain it because I want you to hurt in the process of losing it. In fact, that's what most court cases are. Anybody ever watch Judge Judy? Love Judge Judy. Amen. Right? We're right with Jesus, right? I love Judge Judy. I walk out of the room and I come back in. I'll say, what's going on? It's her fault, by the way. Not only do I want what you have, but I want to punish you, and I want to hurt you, and I want to wreck you, and I want to destroy you, and I want you to lose what you've got while I gain what you have. Listen, that can also be position and power. And then there's the whole issue of covetousness. See, this is just like a snowball. Then there comes, this greed comes, this whole issue of covetousness, and that's number 10 on the Big Ten. You understand what I'm saying? If you go back to those Ten Commandments, to covet something, that's the covet something. You can even covet someone. That's where adultery comes out, is out of covetousness someone else. And let me tell you what covetousness does to you. And you need to get this, right? Because what covetousness does to you is this. It affects you mentally. It affects you emotionally. It affects you spiritually. And it affects you physically. Covetousness does this. It says, I want something so bad, it becomes the entire world in which I live. It becomes your God. God may be telling you no, or somebody may be telling you no about getting this or getting that, and it says, I don't care. You become obsessed with it. I got to have it. In fact, I desire it so badly that I want another man's wife or another woman's man. I want another person's things. I want this. I want that. I want something here. I want something there. I want something over there. And it becomes this idol in my life that all of my desire is for this, and I can't think of anything else. It begins to consume you. It just kind of overwhelms your thought process. And I'm telling you this because I've just battled this over the last couple weeks. Do you understand? I had it in my mind that I needed a newer Harley. And I was going to go out and spend $12,000 on a new Harley, and I had one in a garage that runs just fine. I was justifying it in my mind every way but sideways. I had people in the church like, yep, that's the right thing, yep. And it was, although they were right, the reasons why they were giving me, they were absolutely right. But I didn't need it. You want to know why I need it? Because my brother got a nicer bike than me. And listen, it's not even his fault. I went and picked it out for him. He had no idea. And every time, what do I say? Every time I get a nicer bike, what do I say? What do I say? That's a nice bike. So I got to get one nicer than him. Right? He's making me look bad. But you get my point. If it comes to a point, it's all I could consume. Hundreds of bikes. I don't do internet. You guys know that. Hey, Donna, get me on this. Then I'd sit there and just look at these bikes over and over. I mean, I was going to Cleveland. So I asked this question. Have you ever known anybody who wanted something so bad it made them sick to their stomach? They just literally were physically sick because they wanted and they wanted and they wanted something and they could not get their hands on it and they just couldn't get over it. And so covetous is another aspect of your greed. So now you've got greed, you've got envy, you've got covetous. But let me tell you something. They're all an issue of the heart. Every one of them. An issue of the heart. And let me tell you what the issue is. The heart issue is this. Watch. Man, I'm preaching to myself. You got to get this. I'm not satisfied with what God has placed in my life. I'm not satisfied with it. It's not enough. It's not what God, what you've given me. It's just not enough for me. I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied, and in fact, I'm really out of sorts that God has blessed someone else with something, and he hasn't blessed me with it. Somebody got something that I didn't. So I'm upset, and really, I'm just put out, actually. I'm just put out that God would allow this person to have this, and that person to have that, and this thing over here, that person got, and he won't allow me to have it. Here's what it sounds like sometimes. Watch, this just came to me, by the way. Why do these people who do nothing for God, they're out there, they're living this sinful life, why do they get everything, and me, who I follow Christ, I get nothing? And it really becomes a heart issue and an issue with God about greed in our lives. I want more than what I've had. I want more than what God has supplied me with. I want more than what God has blessed me with. I can remember some years ago, Toys R Us. You all remember that? That was a distant past, right? Toys R Us. You ever remember going into Toys R Us with your child? And here's what happens. Mom says, okay, Steve, you can have this one toy today. Steve, Mom, but I want this too. Mom, no, I said one toy. Steve, but I want this and this. Please, Mom, just these two right here, Mom. No. Mom says, no, just one, Steve. That's it, just one. You're only getting one thing. That's it. And then what happens? Now, if you've ever been in Toys R Us or a Walmart, you can be on the other side of Walmart and you hear this sound on the other end of the store where the toy department is, you know what's going on, right? You've seen what happens, right? What happens is this. Steve throws himself on the floor, right? He gets down on his floor, right? He's just throwing this holy fit, screaming and crying temper tantrum, right? You know what Steve has in his heart? Even in the kids named Steve and children. I let you off the hook, everybody. Children have greed in their heart. And you know what some parents do? some parents will bribe their kids with greed. Who can I pick on? Where's Ronnie? Where'd she go? Ronnie's not here. We'll pick on Ronnie. She's not here. Okay, Ronnie. And I know this don't happen with Ronnie. We're walking into Walmart. Now listen, if you be good, I'll buy you something. I'll get you something. But you got to be good. That never flew at our house. You were expected to be good no matter where you were. You didn't get rewarded for something you should be doing. You understand? So you walk in and you go in. You go to Walmart. You're at the checkout. Okay, Johnny, pick up one of these here lollipops. You know, 10 cents, you know. Pick up. You're a good boy, you know, here. Or Ronnie, good girl, here. So you get that and you go home. And then next week you come to Walmart. Now listen, if you're good, I'll buy you some. Okay. If you go up, check out. We'll pick out a lollipop. Well, no, I want a candy bar. Right? So you buy the candy bar. Right? So you go and you come back next week. You're going to Walmart. You go to Walmart way too much. So you go to Walmart. You're walking in and you tell Ronnie what? You're going to be good, right? So you get to the checkout and say, okay, Ronnie, pick out a candy bar. Well, no, I want a lollipop and a candy bar. Listen, you know what that works up to? That works up to Xbox games. Yeah, bicycles, Harleys, right? Right? That's what that works up to. And if they don't get it, it's like we bribe our kids and teach them that. Greed, even in children. And as I was trying to think about illustrations for this week, this is what came to my mind. Do you ever have those moments when God just speaks to you? You're involved in something and God just speaks to you. When God just kind of says, you know, when about this stealing, when I'm thinking about the stealing, you know, things that come to me, he says, he's talking to me and I'm talking to him, I'm praying, and he says, you don't act like that, do you, Larry? No, Lord, I don't do that. I asked for forgiveness of the Harley already. All right? No, I don't do that. And God says, at least on the outside, you don't act like that. He said, at least on the outside, you don't act like that, do you? You're sitting here, huh? But isn't it true? As an adult, we kind of control ourselves a little better, but on the inside, we are just like Steve, throwing one huge fit. If we don't get everything we want exactly the way we want it, we may not verbalize or act out in our frustration of greed, but on the inside, we are throwing a fit. And sometimes it comes out like this. When somebody's close to you, what's wrong with you? What's the matter? Nothing. I can get what I want is what I'm saying on the inside. Well, Paul comes along and he says this, we have to, as Christians, leave this grip that greed has on us. We need to leave it behind. And listen, folks, this isn't easy. Greed is a powerful thing. But he says, we got to leave it behind because in the flesh, we are all greedy and we want more than what we have. And so often, that greed turns into something really ugly. Now, let me just go take that a step further, all right? Before we go to the second point, let me take it a step further. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want you to think about this because every single one of us here who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, let me let you in on something. God has given you a unique gift, a unique ability, and a unique talent. And when we refuse to use that gift, then we are stealing from God. And I want you to see what Peter says about that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Look what he says. He says, as each one of us has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Listen, you ought to underline that verse in your Bible. You should underline that, highlight that. because that's a very important statement right there. Now, we sit here and we think, that's not something that I have an issue with. This is not something that bothers me, and I'm glad you're preaching it to other people. Well, let me ask you something. As a child of God, or give me the liberty to say this, as an employee of God, are you using the gift that God has given you to serve the body of Jesus Christ right here at Open Door Baptist Church? Are you using the gift that God purposed you with when He saved you? Because I want to let you in on something. If you are not, then you're stealing from God. Because according to God's holy word, God has given you a gift. And I'm not talking about your tithe. We'll save that for another message. I'm not talking about your tithe. But I'm talking about your ability. I'm talking about your gift. I'm talking about something that God has given to you, that God gave to you to use in this fellowship right here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Let us not grow weary in doing good, especially to the household of faith. But it's not just here, but it goes beyond. And not to use your gift in this fellowship that denies the rest of us of why God brought you to this church. Understand, God did not bring you to this church so you could sit and look pretty on Sunday mornings. And y'all look pretty. But that's not why God sent you here, was to look pretty. He brought you here to use your gift that God gave you to minister to the rest of this body. And a lot of the body is lacking because many of us are not using and employing our gifts. And not to do that, listen, and not to do that is to steal from God who gave it to you. That you would serve His purpose to serve His body, that we would corporately be complete to serve His will. And when we refuse or deny God in this area, is to steal from God. Now I'm getting on toes, aren't I? To do this is to steal from God and His people. And you know what happens when that happens? It affects the maturity of the church. And you know something? That's not new. That's what Paul's doing in Ephesus. If you're doing this, you got to stop because it's affecting the maturity of the church. Now let me take you to the second thing, and the second thing is this. We are to leave behind the grip of greed in our lives, but let me tell you, to do this, we are to come back next week and find out. Now I stop here for a good reason. It's not on that real high note, am I? But I stop here for good reason because we need to evaluate. As a church, me and you, we need to evaluate. Am I robbing God? I talk about a lot of things. Am I stealing from God by not using the gift that He gave me? The gift that He gave me for His goodwill, for His purpose, for His pleasure? Let me ask it this way. If Jesus returned today, how would He find you? Would He find you using the gift that He gave you in the body, the church, and beyond? Would He find you using that? How would God see you using your gift? Are you stealing honor from God? Do you put other things before God in His worship? Are you stealing worship that belongs to God? Listen, I hear people tell me all the time, I can pray on the golf course. Okay, do you? Not that you get a hole in one, that don't count. Do you use His name in the wrong way? Are you robbing the dignity that belongs to God? Do you rob the day that God set aside for Himself? Well, you can all say no to that right now, right? Do you rob the day that God set aside for Himself, a day of worship for other things, to do other things that come on the Lord's Day? Do you put them in front often? Listen, I'm not saying that you never take a vacation and you never miss a Sunday, but you understand what I'm saying? And listen, I'm going to step on some toes, and I'm going to get it, and I understand, but give it to me, okay? I'm a big boy. We are teaching our children this, that whatever event that they're in supersedes the day of worship that God says, you will keep the Sabbath day holy. Listen, do you rob him of that? Now listen to me. If you're stealing from God that which is God's, then listen, if we're willing to steal from God that which is God's, then isn't it most likely that we would be willing to steal from men? You loving me yet? You're feeling the love. I'm feeling it. So here's why I'm stopping. I want you to take an evaluation of yourself. I'm not the judge. That's why I'm saying if God was to show up today. I'm not the judge. I'm not here to point fingers. I'm here to get you to take evaluation of yourself before God. Do you need to deal with this in your own heart today? Like I said earlier, stealing is a heart issue. And we in Christ have a new heart. Amen? I'm a new creation. I have a new heart. And there is no room in there for this kind of stuff that we should have left behind. There should be a new priority. Do you desire to honor God in your life? That's a question. Do you desire to honor God in your life? Do you think about honoring God? Is that a desire that you have? Do you even think about it in your daily, whatever you do? If so, then that desire begins in your heart as well. And if you have no desire, that also is a heart issue. Like I said earlier, we think stealing is robbing a bank, shoplifting, cheating on our taxes, and etc. And it is and should not be in the life of a believer. That shouldn't take place. But as you can see from God's own word, it's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than the obvious. Stealing in the life of a Christian, remember that's who Paul was speaking to here. Stealing is a spiritual issue. And we're closed, but here's what I want you to think. I want you to think about this issue of stealing in a different way. I want you to think back to Adam and Eve. When you really put your mind into that account, when you realize that what happened there was an act of thievery, think about it. God, who created and owns all that there is, said, don't take and eat of that fruit. Don't do that. And what did they do? They went and they took it and they ate it. They took what was not theirs and they ate it. They stole God's authority in their lives. They did. Because they thought they knew what was best. And they were wrong. Oh, how wrong they were. Listen, folks, I have people all the time. Does suicide send you to hell? Well, I'm not a murderer. I'm not this. I'm not that. We want to get this scales out and say, I'm not this bad guy. They took a piece of stinking fruit. You want your kids to eat something that they don't want to eat? Put it on the table and tell them they can't have it. Piece of fruit separated us from God. They stole from God. And it all boiled down to this. You know what it all boiled down to? A heart issue. It all boiled down to a heart issue. It was a heart, listen to me, it was a heart issue then, and it's a heart issue now. And we all battle in our flesh with it. Every one of us, including me. I just confess that to you. I battle in that. And if I'm battling in it, I'm sure that there's other people battling in it. Not that I'm some super saint, because I'm not. But I can only identify what's in my flesh. And I had to repent. And I had to turn around, headed to Cleveland. We were headed there. We were on our way in the truck, headed there. And I turned around. And she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "We're not going." I got tears in my eyes. I wanted that Harley. But I wanted to be in obedience to God more. Why? Because my heart loves God more than it loves that Harley. My heart loves God more than my wife. I desire to be right. And that's not easy. Let's stand. It's a heart issue. Let's stand. It's a heart issue. But there's great news. And Jesus Christ is the good news. He cannot change our hearts. He can change our hearts. And most beyond that is he can change your heart and he can change my heart. And that desires, he can change the desires of our heart. Jesus is the good news. He can take that which is stolen and restore it. He can take that which is broken and repair it. He can take that which is lost and make it what? Found. Amen? Jesus can do that. Jesus can take those who have been stolen by the devil and return them to the Father. Jesus can. I know that he can because he did it with me. I know that there are those of us here today who are lost, who the devil has stolen for himself. I know that because what? One, well, statistics prove it, but also the Word of God says it. A life fully surrendered to the Father. Listen, I think Jim's classmate touched on this morning. A life fully surrendered to the Father is a rare thing. But God says that whosoever believes, whosoever will, comes, whosoever will surrender their life to him fully, he will no wise cast out. But watch. You've got to come. That's the response on your part. You have to come. There's a response on your part. It's the surrender part. The part where you say, "Father God, I've been trying." You would say, like, "Father God, I've been trying to live this life on my own. I've made decisions and choices in my life that have not honored and glorified you. I don't even know if I truly understand who you are. I don't understand all about you. But your word tells me that if I believe and ask Jesus to come into my life, that you will hear that prayer. You will hear that prayer coming out of my heart. You will hear it. That if I confess to you that I'm a sinner, that you will hear that prayer. And that if I ask for forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I truly come by the faith of your word alone, if I truly mean and ask for forgiveness, that you will forgive me. So, Lord, here I stand right now. Here I stand, and I ask that today. I ask you, Lord, to change my life. I ask you to change my heart. I ask you to lead and guide me and help me and to find my way. Rescue me from the devil, Lord, who has held me captive. Rescue me and make my life new." And all of God's people said, amen. Now listen to me. If you pray.